On a different note, let's talk about Chickenfoot.
Sure.
From what I understand, you guys are going into recording soon, now?
Very soon. I ran into Sammy yesterday, and we confirmed that we're going to pile in this Sunday and start rehearsing and finishing up writing. There'll be some recording happening along the way, and we've got studio time booked out at the end of this year. So I think that December is going to be a very pivotal month at the end of this year, and we'll hopefully finish up all of the tracks for record. You know, I hesitate to say Chickenfoot because the more I say it, the more it becomes the name of the band. But let me just say right now, it is not the name of the band.
Okay, I was going to ask you, Chickenfoot. It's one of those names, like, could be great, could be weird.
I always thought it was weird. I mean, but you know, the very first, you know, phone call I had with Sam, he said, "We've got this band called Chickenfoot. Don't worry, it's not going to be the name of the band." You know, but then we had to call it something because no one, you know, we thought, well, we could call it the Chad Smith Experience, or you know, the Michael Anthony, Mad Anthony Cafe Bashers, or the, you know, Sammy's Wabo Extras, or whatever, you know. So, but this, for some reason, I don't know. If you know Sam, it makes perfect sense because, you know, Sam's got a million ideas every minute, and he'll keep calling you on the phone and convincing you that it's the greatest idea in the world. And because the man is endlessly creative and enthusiastic about everything that he does, and it's a real thrill. But and that's where the Chickenfoot idea came from, and it just was so funny. And I think in a way it was so bad that we loved it, you know.
Were there other names?
Oh, yeah. There have been hundreds of names. And secretly, I believe that he is sitting on a name that he truly believes is the best name, and he's keeping it all to himself until the right moment.
So it might not be Chickenfoot.
Oh, it's definitely not going to be Chickenfoot. I guarantee it. But I know that we all, you know, the band and you and everyone else has to call it something in the meantime. So it might as well be Chickenfoot. I think the name of the band should be It Might As Well Be Chickenfoot, I think is perhaps the true title of the band. But I have no idea how that's going to turn out.
Now,
to
you
tell you the truth, Joe, I'm concerned about the songs, the recording, and my guitar playing. And I could care less what we call it. I'm going to wait. You know, I've learned that you can wait on those things. When you've got a schedule that's so improbable as this one, you have to really prioritize and just focus on what you can actually handle at the moment. So right now, you know, between my tour, Sammy's tour, the Chili Peppers tour, the only thing that we can all really focus on is the fact that we've written two albums worth of songs, the material sounds amazing, and we've got a couple of weeks here and there, you know, to record this stuff, so let's just do that, worry about the name later.
Recently, Sammy made pretty big headlines for his comment that the band was going to be bigger than Zeppelin. Sammy being Sammy, what do you make of these comments?
Oh, I'm sure what he said was it sounds like Led Zeppelin, and I have no idea. I can't imagine Sam saying anything like that, but, you know, this is one of those things where we are truly, like, over-the-top excited about this. When we get together, it is a very energetic kind of rock music that reminds you of something like early Zeppelin, I guess. Let me put it that way. Because of the roots that everybody in the band has and what they bring, you know, to the table. This album will be coming out in 2009, so it's a completely new world. I think that, you know, when people say, when Sam's being interviewed or Chad or someone, and they're asking, what's it sound like, you know, they have to say something. And
still, though, when you heard those comments or read them, did you cringe? Did you go, oh, my God? What did you think?
Yeah, I think anyone who has to sort of, you know, defend a comment like that, you know, first it's like the first thing you realize is like, you know, that, you know, interviews can be, you know, dicey because you really never know if anything is true that's being flown around, and because, you know, comments fly around and they sometimes are credited as being true, but maybe they're not and they get twisted. And so what's the point of reacting to something that may not be true? And then, you know, so in those few seconds you're going, well, how do I react to that, you know? So I think, let's put it this way, if we were sitting around at a rehearsal and somebody in the band said, man, we're going to be bigger than Led Zeppelin, we'd all just laugh and throw something at them. So it's just a ridiculous comment that means nothing, and I really don't believe that Sam ever said that. I think it was just twisted.
Sammy's one of those split personalities out there. There are those people that love him, and he has his detractors.
Let me tell you something. Yesterday, I was at the Plant Studios in Sausalito, and I was there for amp testing. So I was there with Chris Kelly and engineer Tim Yarnig, and we were testing different PV amplifier designs that we're working on. We're working on a couple of them. And Sam was meeting with John Cuniberti at Sam's place, getting ready for the recording next week. And Sam found out I was hanging out, and he said, "Oh, I'll just stop by and say hi." So he comes in, and Sam is like, you know, when he walks into a room, he just lights the whole place up. He just has this great energy.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, he stayed for a few minutes and said, "I'm going to split." And then he leaves, and then the owner of the studio comes in and says, "Oh, you know what? Sammy wanted me to play you this track, you know." And I thought, well, that's funny. He didn't tell me, you know, that he wanted me to hear this track, you know. Well, and this is kind of important because really at the heart of Sam is not this boastful, over-the-top personality that you might think, you know. He's actually a sensitive musician, you know, who really is totally into the music, you know. And I know this from spending so much time with him offstage, you know. So me and Chris and the guys, we go, oh, cool. So we walk across the hall into A, and we put on this track, and it's Will Lee on bass and Neil Sean on guitar, Narda Michael Walden playing drums, Nile Rodgers playing rhythm guitar, maybe some keys, some background singers, and Sammy singing lead, and they're doing Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself, you know, Sly Stone
sure.
song.
Yeah.
And it is an amazing recording, and Sammy's voice is so beautiful. It sounds so soulful, and it's got everything. It's just like one of, you know, when he gets up to a mic and he starts singing, you go, that guy's voice has everything a voice is supposed to have, you know. And he's singing in the pocket, and the pitch is perfect, and it's soulful, and it's... And I was on the phone, you know, 3 minutes later saying, Sammy, that is amazing. That vocal performance is absolutely amazing, you know. I think he was kind of shy about it. That's why he didn't walk into the room and drag us over there when he was there, you know. But he was so into it that for, you know, until he records his next song, that's in his heart, is that song and how we had a moment with those guys. And, you know, and Sam's the kind of guy that'll... You know, for that track, that Sly Stone track, you know, he just showed up in the studio for a half hour, did two or three takes, and split. That's kind of like, I think, what people have to know about him, that he's a, what would you call, I don't know how to put that into a small, like, one sentence or a soundbite, but he works totally off inspiration, but yet, technically, he's got everything that a singer needs to draw from. But he's a guy who just has to... You know, he wants to be totally into it when he goes and he does something. And when it hits, it's pretty astounding. So.
Now, is he going to be playing guitar in the band?
You know, he has not yet touched the guitar any time I'm around. And I keep, you know, bringing in songs saying, this is perfect, you know, for this part of the song where you pick up a guitar and we do this thing together. And he looks at me and goes, I'm not playing guitar when you're playing guitar. So I haven't convinced him yet, but I know I will. Because I know, you know, the first time that we played together in Vegas, he did bring a guitar out for the last song that we played, and I knew that I would connect with him. I knew that we had that thing where we could have musical dialogues on stage, you know. And I like his playing, and he, you know, he's a blues player at heart, so we share that, you know, that common thread in our playing. And so I'm constantly writing parts for him, but I haven't yet convinced him to play them.
Because I was going to ask, how do you think your playing is going to change in this band, particularly if you might be playing some more rhythmic parts?
Well, yeah, I mean, some more rhythmic parts. Let's put it this way. In a normal band situation, you playing 90% rhythm and ensemble, you know, lines with a band, you know, a bass player, keyboard, drums, and stuff like that. So, yeah, so although we have not, you know, created, you know, perfect 3.5-minute heavy pop songs. Yeah, we've been, all of our arrangements are kind of long, and there's lots of room for everybody in the band to stretch out. Still, it's the songs are vocal songs; they're not instrumental, which means that I get to be part of the band, and Sammy is on top weaving the melodies in and around. So right then and there, that's like 180 degrees different from the Joe Satriani gig, which is, you know, I may play the opening riff, but I'm playing melodies and solos all the time, 90% of the time, you know. So this is a complete reversal, and it's more like, it's funny, it's more like what I grew up playing like. I mean, that's, I groomed myself to be a guitar player in a band, you know, sort of like, maybe more like Jimmy Page was more like my model.
Right.
Always thinking until I improbably suddenly had this solo career as an instrumentalist. And had, I really, you know, in 88 I had to learn how to do the solo gig. Up until then, I'd been spending decades being the Jimmy Page guy. So this playing with Chad, Mike, and Sammy, it feels very natural.
Actually, who are your rhythm guitar influences?
Well, there you go. I mean, there's a big difference between, let's say, the Hendrix approach and the Jimmy Page approach. They're very different. I've never had to explain it, but I know that if you're in a band and you start playing the Jimmy Page approach and it's not appropriate, someone will turn to you and say, that's not appropriate. Play more like, and, you know, Hendrix would be the other alternative of how you play. And the thing is that Jimmy really didn't, I mean, Jimmy Page is not known for weaving together melody and rhythmic figures and harmony that are part and parcel of the vocal part, you know. The Jimmy Page approach would be more of supplying a riff and then supplying chords and really putting, I would say, more of a distance between what the vocalist and what the guitar player are doing. It's simply a stylistic approach, and you know Hendrix grew up playing through that soul Chitlin circuit, all that kind of stuff. That's just a different kind of guitar playing altogether.
Hey Joe, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Joe. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you again. This is Joe Basso from Music Radar, the place for music makers, and I've been speaking with Joe Satriani. Joe, take care.
Okay, man. Talk to you again soon.
Talk to you again. Bye bye.